My dearly beloved, we read at the beginning of today's gospel the words, "When you see the abomination of desolation," spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, that would be a sign that these other predictions are about to come to pass. So the fathers of the church have speculated what was or what is that abomination of desolation. Quite a choice of words, an abomination of desolation. And they say that when the temple was defiled, that apparently the Romans brought their standards or idols or something into the king, into the temple, that was a defilement of the temple, and that was a sign of the pending destruction of Jerusalem, which took place in the year 70, and the Christians fled, and our Lord told them to flee, not even to go back to take their cloak, etc. But they also say that it will apply at the end of time. And St. Alphonsus Liguori, in particular, says the abomination of desolation will be a liturgy that will imitate the holy sacrifice of the Mass, but will be sacrilegious, will be offensive to Almighty God. Now, St. Alphonsus lived in the 1700s. And we believe that the Novus Ordo Missae is that abomination that was predicted. A liturgy that mimics the holy sacrifice of the Mass, but is not a sacrifice. Indeed, they don't even describe it as such. They say it's the memorial of the Lord's Supper. Now, I know that many of you, even adults, had the great fortune of being born and raised by your parents as traditional Catholics, attending the Latin Tridentine Mass right from the beginning. But there may be others who attended the Novus Ordo for a while and then realized this is not the true Mass. This is not pleasing God, and searched and found the true Mass. Some of those who never again attended the Novus Ordo and then maybe do so are present because of a funeral of a relative, or you see it on the internet and are shocked at what it really is. We should be grateful to God for the grace that we have the true Mass and to understand. So what is wrong with the Novus Ordo? We'll mention several things. The Novus Ordo Missae, which stands for New Order of Mass, came in the late 60s, I believe in 1969, and then it became obligatory on Palm Sunday 1970. And it was not a literal translation of the Latin Mass into English, but rather a completely new Mass was written. Oh, it retained the basic structure of the introductory prayers, offertory, epistle and gospel, offertory, canon of the Mass, consecration, communion. But six Protestant ministers were invited to the Vatican to help rewrite the Catholic Mass, which is incredible to think. And of course, the word of the day was ecumenism in the 1960s and with Vatican II, and trying to make the Mass acceptable and pleasing to non-Catholics. And so Protestants again were invited to collaborate in rewriting the Mass. It came in gradually. First, the epistle and gospel were read in English instead of in Latin at the altar. And then another change and another change. And eventually, the altar was turned around facing the people. And it was no longer called an altar, it's called a table. In many churches, the communion rail was eliminated. That barrier between where the faithful are in the church and where the priest and servers are in the sanctuary. And then there was communion in the hands and standing, very little reverence. There's what is called the kiss of peace, which is a handshake after the Our Father, like a social atmosphere in the church. A procession, the beginning of the offertory, to present gifts, usually bringing up the water and wine, but sometimes other things. And in general, the sacredness of the holy sacrifice of the Mass was lost. And I mentioned that the new Mass was referred to as a meal. In the new missal, there is in the beginning a decree called the general instruction of the Roman Mass. And the definition given in this decree is that the Mass is the assembly of the people of God, presided over by the presidency of the priest to celebrate the Lord's Supper. So this idea that the Mass is a sacrifice, a propitiatory sacrifice, the unbloody renewal of the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, that was changed, and now it is called a meal, renewing the Last Supper instead of the sacrifice on Calvary. And the architecture or arrangement of the sanctuary was changed. I mentioned the communion rail, and again, the altar was pulled away from the back, and the priest goes around the other side facing the people, and they call it a table. But there also is up there in the front what is called the president's chair. And it's not off to the side, like the priest will sit at a high mass for the glory of the credo, but it's in the center, perhaps next to or behind the table. And the priest is now referred to as the president of the assembly. And he spends a lot of time sitting, at least in the first part of the mass, and lay people get up and read the epistle and gospel, and also help even with communion. So a very big change from what the Mass was. We believe this new Mass is very offensive to Almighty God. It is sacrilegious. They changed, they even dare to tamper with the very words of consecration. And it is a people or man-centered liturgy. Instead of the priest facing the tabernacle and the crucifix, offering the sacrifice to Almighty God. So a group of theologians in Rome wrote a study when this first came out, and it was presented to Paul VI by Cardinal Ottaviani and Cardinal Bacci. There were a number of other bishops who were going to sign on, but they got cold feet. They were worried about what repercussions might be. But in this study, the theologians say that the new Mass represents a striking departure from the theology of the Mass as taught by the Council of Trent, that the Mass is a sacrifice, and it is a propitiatory sacrifice to atone for sin. And again, the new Mass, they eliminated any of those references. So now it's just a meal, a celebration of the Lord's Supper, and that the note of reverence, of prayer, is absent. You might see, if you're ever present in a church, the talking among the people, etc., the loss of reverence, the lack of genuflections, and again, in general, a complete loss of reverence. So we should give thanks to Almighty God that we have the true Mass, that you have found the true Mass, or many of you raised with the true Mass. But in all of those churches, or the majority, the vast, vast majority of those churches, they used to be Catholic churches. There now is a liturgy, there now is a ceremony that is not the holy sacrifice of the Mass. It is like a Protestant meal service, and truly the abomination of desolation. Let us then give thanks to Almighty God that we have the true Mass. Let us always retain our reverence and love for the Holy Mass. It is the greatest thing in the world, because it is Jesus Christ coming down on the altar and offering to his Heavenly Father his life and his death, the unbloody renewal of his sacrifice on the cross. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.